Luke chapter 10, verse 38, page 1042. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
Thanks, Leon. Just before we start, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we have your word right in front of us. Please, would you help us to listen carefully to it now? Amen. Hiya, how are you? Long time no see. I'm doing all right, thanks. Yeah, sorry, I've not seen you in ages. Life's just real busy at the moment. I barely have room to breathe, really. Why? What's been happening? Well, there's all this stuff going on at work, you see. We've got a big project on the go, and Jenny is off ill, so I've been covering some of her work. I've had to work some evenings. And at the same time, we've still got the extension going on, like it's 3 weeks overdue now. And then my parents came to visit last weekend, and it felt like just that last bit of free time just disappeared. Yeah, no, I get that completely. My last week's been mental too. My dissertation hand-in is in 2 weeks, and I've got so much left to do. I've got a couple more shifts that I've been offered at the after-school club as well, and I could really do with the money. So I basically just feel like I'm just about keeping afloat. These two friends, they may sound familiar to you. You may have had friends say similar things. You may have had yourself say similar things at various times. Lots of the time, life is really busy. And being busy is something our society promotes. Busyness is good. If you're busy, then you're in demand, you're wanted, you're needed, you're important. You're successful. Cambridge is a busy place full of busy people. Maybe you are really feeling it at the moment. Maybe you feel snowed under at work, or your family life is eating up all of your time, or studying just feels never ending. Maybe it's something else completely different. But whatever it is, you're busy. If that's you, then what we're looking at today is really important for thinking about life in those busy times. And if that's not you right now, it's still important, don't switch off, because you'll have friends who are like that. Maybe you've got them now, maybe not, and maybe in the future. That could be you too. It's important to think about how being a Christian changes how we think about being busy. So as we look at this passage today, we'll be hearing from Luke, a Christian guide to being busy. So do keep that passage open. Luke chapter 10 verse 38, page 1042. So in this whole section of Luke's gospel, Luke has been showing us what it's like to follow Jesus, what it looks like to be a disciple. So Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem, and ultimately he's on his way to heaven to be seated at his Father's right-hand side. And Luke is giving us a guide to following him. And so Luke today is setting our priorities and our direction and showing us the danger of busyness, what it looks like to be distracted from following Jesus along the road. And so as we look at this, we're going to see two sisters, and we'll look at each of them in turn because they have rather different responses to Jesus. So the first sister, Martha, is distracted by doing. Let's get into the story and see it. All right, picture the scene. Jesus is a teacher of great renown. He's really famous now. A famous rabbi who has done miracles. He's taught crowds of thousands of people. And he's come to this little village called Bethany. And he's come with his disciples and he's looking for a place to stay whilst they're traveling. A woman called Martha pipes up and invites him to stay at her house and to welcome him in. What a privilege. to be able to host Jesus. But now, Martha wasn't expecting to be hosting a famous rabbi this evening, and the house isn't exactly ready. So, whilst Jesus is in the porch over there, she's just popping around the sitting room, just going to take the mugs off the table, remove the half-dead flowers from the vase and hide them away somewhere. And she'll go through and start making a cup of tea for Jesus as he comes in, offer it to him, give him a seat. What can I cook for dinner? But the laundry is over there in the corner first. Better move that. Martha busies herself. She busies herself with activity. There's so much that needs doing. She wants Jesus to have a comfortable stay. She wants to serve him really well. But then there's Mary, her sister. And she's just sitting on the floor at Jesus' feet and listening to him speak. She's not pulling her weight. So Martha goes up to Jesus and asks, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." So she's expecting Jesus to agree with her and get her lazy-boned sister to pull her weight, to do the work she should be doing. But the answer she gets is nothing like that. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset by many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now that isn't what Martha expected. You see, Martha sees who Jesus is. She sees how important he is, how special he is, how worth following he is, and how worth serving he is. Luke tells us that Martha opened her home to Jesus. You'll see that's what the verses say. And Luke's word that he actually uses there is the word to receive Jesus. It's his word he uses to describe when people start trusting Jesus for themselves. So we might say that Martha is a Christian who's just started following Jesus. She knows who he is and she wants to serve him. Which sounds great, right? But then it looks to her like her sister does not get it. Doesn't she know who this is? This is a man worth making an effort for. And so, hearing Jesus reject her service like this is a shock. He is telling her that this isn't the way he wants people to follow him. See how Luke describes her in verse 40. Look down with me, verse 40. Martha was distracted. She wanted to serve Jesus and welcome him properly into her home. But what she ended up doing was being distracted. She was distracted by doing. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, you might recall that we looked at Jesus' encounter with an expert of the law who asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now there's a problem with that question, and Jesus showed it to him. What you have to do is love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But we don't do that. In fact, we can't do that. We can't do anything to earn for ourselves eternal life. Rather, it's a gift we need to accept. Later, we'll be sharing in the Lord's Supper. We'll be coming to this table empty-handed. We bring nothing. It is a gift we receive. It's a good picture. But now, here we see Martha. She's trying to do. And all that she does is merely a distraction. Now, they're really good things she's doing. Don't get me wrong. Martha's not doing bad things. She's serving Jesus. Like, isn't that something you put right at the top of a good thing to do as a Christian list? Serve Jesus. But the problem is, she lets the good things that she's doing take priority over the best thing she could be doing. That's the thing about distractions. They aren't all bad. In fact, the most dangerous ones are the ones which are really good. Life is full of so many good things that we could be doing, and it's very easy for the good things to overtake the best. Maybe for us, we're not trying to make our house look acceptable for a great teacher to visit. But there are loads of other things which take up our time. Work, school, time with friends or family, sport, music, cooking, reading, art, film, sleep. These are all really good things. God has given us a world that's full of good things. But it's really easy for them to fill up all of our time. Jesus is to be our focus. Listening to him is to be our number one priority. That's what Jesus is saying. But as we add in these other things of life, it's almost like we're juggling. If I was able to juggle now, this is where you get a fantastic display, but I'm sadly not able to. You start off with one ball. Here's your only focus, listening to Jesus. Then in comes another ball, work. You're doing all right. You can manage this. You're just holding them in your hands. Now in comes family and friends and a bit of leisure time, and your hands are full. But when you add in holiday and catching up with uni friends and all these other things, going down to the pub, serving at church, something you're having to juggle. You've got some extra last-minute deadlines coming in. You're under a lot of pressure, actually. You're not really able to keep all these balls going. The problem is, I can't juggle, and you can't either. That's the truth of it for all of us. We can't juggle all of these things at once, at least not without dropping some of them. So we need to make a decision. Are we going to keep juggling listening to Jesus? Is it going to be just one of these balls which is going round and round? And we'll risk dropping it every now and then. Or will we make it the one thing we don't let go of? Even if we drop some other stuff, because we're not as good at juggling them now, we've got our hands full, we keep hold of this. That's the choice. Now, Jesus isn't saying, lock yourself away, just do this, just one thing, just read the Bible, nothing else, just shut yourself in a room. God has given us other responsibilities which are good to do and good gifts to enjoy. But he is saying, make sure you don't drop the ball. That's the one thing that matters. Jesus says, few things are needed, or indeed, only one. So keep hold of it, even if it means dropping that extra 15 minutes of sleep, or that trip to the pub with mates, or that run on a Saturday morning. Martha's distracted. She's distracted from holding on. Are you? Do other things in your life draw attention away from holding on to listening to Jesus? So that you don't pay attention to him, don't listen. It's like you're Martha in the kitchen whilst Jesus is in the living room. J.C. Ryle was a bishop from the 19th century, and he wrote some really powerful words about this passage. I just want to share them with you now. He said this: let us mentally write poison on all temporal good things. Used in moderation, they are blessings for which we ought to be thankful. Permitted to fill our minds and trample upon holy things, they become a positive curse. Profits and pleasures are dearly purchased if, in order to obtain them, we thrust aside eternity from our thoughts, abridge our Bible reading, become careless hearers of the gospel, and shorten our prayers. A little earth upon the fire within us will soon make the fire burn low. Maybe you're hearing all this and you feel a bit guilty. You think, oh, my Bible's got a layer of dust on it. I've missed church a few times recently. Maybe you're a Christian and you've never got into the habit of reading the Bible for yourself. Maybe you just struggle to keep going. Keep listening. If this is you, take heart. Martha did exactly the same. She was distracted. And yet, she became one of Jesus' closest followers. Take heart. You don't need to be a super Christian to follow Jesus. Jesus said to Martha, 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 you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Jesus sees and he cares. You don't need to be someone who does everything perfectly. Because we can't get our heads down like Martha and just do to please God. Rather, we need to sit and receive from him first. God's grace to us is a precious gift given to us, even though we don't deserve it. Take heart, because none of us are perfect, but also take heed. Don't be distracted. Now, the first sister was Martha, distracted by doing. But there is something better than busyness. And the second sister, Mary, has seen that. You see, Mary listens to Jesus. Let's picture that exact same scene again. Let's get in there. Jesus, a teacher of great renown, a famous rabbi who has done miracles and taught crowds of thousands, has come into this little village of Bethany, and he's looking for a place to stay as they journey. A woman called Martha pipes up and invites him to her home and welcomes him in. What a privilege to be able to host Jesus. And now Mary, Martha's sister, wants to make the most of it. Here is the one who could be the Messiah, God's promised king. Here is the one who has drawn multitudes, thousands, to follow him because of his words and his miracles. Here he is right before her, and she can listen to him. There's nothing better she could do. What a privilege. Now, her sister, she's all dashing about like a headless chicken in the background, tidying, cooking, cleaning. But now she finally comes over to be with Jesus. Great. But actually, she just comes over to ask that Mary join her in this headless busyness. And Jesus' answer is wonderful. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset by many things, but few things are necessary. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. He says she can stay. She doesn't have to miss out on listening to Jesus, because he says that's the one thing that's necessary. Now, it's easy for us to feel sympathy for Martha, abandoned to do the hard work. But Jesus says what Mary is doing is simply better. It's the better thing, so she shouldn't stop. In fact, it will be bad for her to stop. It will be foolish. It will be like getting someone to stop cooking the dinner they're in the middle of cooking to count the number of grains of rice in the cupboard. One of those activities is simply better than the other. Cook dinner first, and then if you have time, feel free to count the rice. But why is it better to listen to Jesus? We can understand why it's better to cook rather than count the rice. One ends up with a nice, tasty food which is necessary for living, and the other ends up with a not very useful number. But why listen to Jesus? Here are two big reasons. Firstly, because of what's at stake. What's the worst that could happen for Mary and Martha if nobody cooked dinner or tidied the house? They'd go a bit hungry in a slightly grubby home. What's the worst that could happen if they don't take time to sit and listen to Jesus? They could miss out on far more than dinner. They started off well. They've received Jesus into their home. But if they ignore him now, if they're distracted by other things, they may well not keep following him. They would miss out on the one thing they need, on the thing they need to keep going, the one thing that's necessary to keep following Jesus along this path, along this road to the eternal glory that waits. For us, the stakes are just as high. If we don't send some emails, if we miss out on a bit of sleep, or miss the first 20 minutes of a sports practice, there are some consequences. Maybe you'll be disorganized for a meeting, maybe you'll be a little bit grouchy and tired, or maybe you'll miss out on a bit of fun. But if we miss out on our reading of the Bible, on listening to God's words, then the danger is that we stop following Jesus. We stop walking this road that Luke is teaching us to follow, this path of discipleship, and we might miss out on eternity with God. Why should we listen? Because of what's at stake. The consequences could be severe. But then there's the flip side. You can listen because of what's on offer. The good things which could distract us offer us a reward. For instance, if you go for a run every day, the reward will be increasing fitness. You'll get better at running, be healthier. If you spend lots of time baking, the reward is yummy cake. But the rewards offered by other things pale in comparison to what listening to Jesus offers. Rather than something to work for that might spoil or fade, like cake and fitness, Jesus offers something which, as he says of Mary, will not be taken away. The better thing that we don't need to worry about or fret about, As we listen to Jesus, we hear the words of our Maker, the words of our King, the words of our brother, the one whom we are to follow. We hear these words in the Bible, the precious words of God to us. They let us know truly about our God and about ourselves. In sitting at Jesus' feet, by reading the Bible, we can know a firm foundation for our lives, something which is unchanging and true, as we know the faithful God who doesn't change. As we sit at Jesus' feet, we can become more and more like that person we read in Psalm 1, who's described like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. That sounds good. As we listen to Jesus' words, we become more like him. We're changed by the work of the Spirit within us. And as the psalm says, we will be blessed. That's so much better than everything else. Isn't Jesus right when he says to Mary that she has chosen what's better? Instead of the passing satisfaction of work well done, tasty cake or fitness, Mary has chosen the portion that will not be taken away from her, which will sustain her on the road that Jesus is leading her. What's on offer is better than any distraction we could think of. But it doesn't always feel like that, does it? For us to sit at Jesus' feet is to hear from the Bible. It's to read it for ourselves, to come to church to hear it read, to spend time in study and reflection of what it means for us. But I know for myself that when I read the Bible, I don't always feel super exhilarating. It doesn't feel like I'm hearing from the creator of the universe. I'd expect lots more thunder and lightning. It feels much more like I'm reading a book. I know my morning Bible reading can often seem less inviting than the prospect of a bit more time in bed. Or maybe coming to church seems less exciting a prospect than having a relaxed evening in with a film and some chocolate. But that doesn't change the truth. Reading the Bible and hearing from the Lord through it is better than anything else, no matter what you feel. It's more important because of what's at stake, and it's more worthwhile because of what's on offer. So here is the Christian guide to being busy. I've cut it down so it's nice and snappy. Four words. One four-word instruction in a world of distraction. Listen to Jesus first. Listen to Jesus first, then do everything else. Cook the meal, then count the rice. Put things in their right order. One obvious way of trying to do that is taking time to read the Bible for yourself. Try and take time every day. Just a little bit of time to read the Bible for yourself, to sit at Jesus' feet. It's so easy for us to excuse ourselves by saying, I'm too busy, I just don't have time. But that's not true. You've just chosen to put other things higher up the list. Listen to Jesus first. How? Maybe you really want to know, how can I do that? I can't tell you exactly, sorry. Because everyone here is in different circumstances. But find a way that works for you. Read the Bible. Listen to the Bible. Take the time. The Bible is where we hear Jesus speak. Find a way to read it for yourself. Find a way to sit at Jesus' feet. Find a way to be at church. It'll look different for different people, but the heart is the same. Sit at Jesus' feet by reading his words. Maybe you're asking, where do I start? Some people like to use Bible reading notes. We've got them on the bookstall over there. I think there's some old ones in the rack there, which you can buy for like a quid. That's a worthwhile investment. Maybe it means waking up 15 minutes earlier to make sure you have time to do that. Maybe it means using your commute to work slightly differently. Maybe you sit on a bus as you go to work, and you could read the Bible then. If you've never got into reading the Bible for yourself, have a chat with someone who has. See what they find helpful. If you're not a Christian and you don't know what all this fuss is about reading the Bible, ask someone who is. Talk to them. Listen to Jesus first. It's not just another juggling ball to keep up in the air. It's the thing to hold on to. Even if you drop everything else, it's worth holding on to because of what's at stake and what is on offer. Listen to Jesus first. It's so important and so worthwhile. Our world is busy and full of distractions. Cambridge is busy and full of distractions. Everything clamours for your attention. There are many good things out there to do and enjoy. But before we do anything, Jesus calls us to sit and listen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that few things are needed, indeed only one, that we sit at Jesus' feet. Thank you that Jesus has come to us to show who you are, to tell us truly about ourselves and about you. Please would you help us to practically think how we can be going about this, how we can be listening to Jesus. Please would you help us think through our day. Can we take time? Please would you help us chat with others and encourage them to do the same. Please would you help us to be people who love your word and take time for it. Please would you help us, because we know we struggle on our own. We know we fail. And thank you so much that you help us even though we do. Amen.